DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Ordained a priest from the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania, Monsignor Essef has served as a retreat director and confessor to Blessed Mother Teresa. He continues to offer direction and retreats internationally for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived around the globe, including Lebanon, serving the pontifical missions there. It is a Catholic organization established by Blessed John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. Monsignor Essef assisted the founders of the Institute for Priestly Formation and continues to serve as a spiritual director for the Institute. He also actively serves as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. So what's on your heart today?
Jesus is calling out to those who are going to be his followers. I'm taking issue today with TV evangelists who are, I believe, putting out a false Christianity. There is that kind of Christianity that's out there today, and I believe many are being deceived by it, that you can follow Jesus and have a lot of recognition in this world. And they're preaching that. Like, if you are really, truly a Christian, you're going to get the job that you want. You just pray and you will land that best job. Your children will go to the best universities. Your children will all be excelling. And you'll always get be recognized and things will go very well for you. Just pray and Jesus will lead you to all happiness and goodness. And, you know, it's totally against what he's saying today. And so if we listen, now it isn't that Jesus is purposely leading you into suffering. In this Gospel of Luke, which is the Gospel for the 12th Sunday, once when Jesus was praying in solitude and the disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowd say the Son of Man is? Who am I?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others, one of the prophets has arisen." Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said in reply, "The Christ of God." He rebuked them and directed them not to tell this to anyone, because the Christ, in the eyes of the Jews, was going to be a king, an earthly king, somewhat like David. He was going to have a powerful army. He was going to feed all the people. He was going to give them a day of plenty. So the Christ, or the anointed, or the Messiah, so they had a wrong idea as to who this Jesus. In fact, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one that was long waited for. But now Jesus, in teaching who his kingdom is and what his kingdom is about, that's why he directs them, because I don't want people to get the wrong idea. He said, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised." So he's predicting again that I am going to suffer, I'm going to be rejected, I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise. He predicts his passion to his followers. This is a very important part of the gospel. He said to all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loves his life for my sake will save it. And that's the gospel for today. So that Jesus today is preaching union with himself. I am going to suffer, I am going to die, and I am going to rise. Do you want to be my disciple? You must take up your cross daily, as I am going to carry this cross. And he's looking at us very carefully and clearly and telling you and me. Every person who is hearing this gospel today is going to hear it so that you and I will be suffering, dying, and rising in union with Jesus Christ. Lord, how do we do that? Since Christianity is an adult religion, you're going to do that by being united with him. Jesus is teaching his disciples who have been following him in the Gospels, but in the post-Pentecost, the union with Jesus Christ period. See, if you have been baptized into Christ Jesus, then you are one with him. In the same Mass, we read from St. Paul's epistle, and these readings are so powerful today. If we would understand, brothers and sisters, through faith you are all children of God in Christ Jesus. So that what Jesus is saying in the gospel, he's saying to those disciples who have not yet been united with him, what Paul is saying to us and God through the holy word of Scripture, through faith you are all children of God in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free person. There is not male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. So now, who is suffering, dying, and rising? Jesus in you and me. If you want to be united with me, if you want to be one baptized in me, then you will suffer daily. You will take up your cross with me. You will die with me, and you will rise. For the Christian, every day is a paschal mystery. Every day is an entry into life with and in Jesus Christ. You know, who is that in your midst that's living the life of Christ? If it's not you, then you're not in him, through him and with him. Every bit of suffering that you endure with him, through him, and in him. You know, the father, husband, who is daily going to follow Jesus and be one in him, through him, and with him, lives his life in union with Christ, and his daily sacrifices are in union with Jesus Christ. The wife, the mother, who is going to live in union with Christ. There's a beautiful lady, Sue Birdie. She lives in a little village here near Scranton, Old Forge. She is 99 years old. She was looked upon as the volunteer of the year in her area. She's just constantly giving herself. Her husband was a professor at the University of Scranton. She had four children. And she is known as a woman of dedication and service and giving. Sue Birdie was like just outstanding in what? In giving. And not too long ago, you being 99 years old, one of her daughters died. And the suffering that she went through, Jesus suffering in her, dying in her, and the amazing life of Sue with her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, always and ever the outstanding. In her parish, she was the Eucharistic minister. In her parish, she was the lector. She was just known as giving. The ordinary, everyday Catholic Christian. Never really in any way like a wealthy, just service-oriented, giving, always giving. What's that face look like that is Jesus in our midst? And she just came right to my mind. Outstanding. What happens on a daily basis? You're going to suffer on a daily basis. You will die following Jesus, and you will rise. Each of us living our daily lives in union with Jesus Christ. There's no longer male or female in the parish. This whole thing about the church being so male-dominated, I think in my experience of Catholic parishes, in my experience of the church, the most powerful examples of Jesus that I see, and I don't look to only our superstars like Mother Teresa or Dorothy Day, but I look about in the ordinary parish, people like Sue Bury. There's these people who lay down their lives daily for their families, for their neighbors, for their children and grandchildren. Every day, people are being fed and clothed and cared for and welcomed by these daily laying down of Christ. Do people see Jesus in you and in me? The evangelization that is taking place through the suffering, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a daily, everyday matter. It's not the extraordinary. It's the ordinary everyday. And so as I go to Mass this Sunday, it's those wonderful, beautiful, ordinary people who are in union with Jesus Christ. In the world, there are those even now as we speak in countries, and our country will soon be seeing it because of the hatred of God in the United States, the hatred of religion in the United States. This country is just not anti-Catholic, but one of its worst experiences right now that we're experiencing is anti-Catholicism. But praise God that we will be known as Christians, as Jesus, that when we are going to suffer with him and through him and in him, we will be one with him. He's saying today, if you want to be my follower, here's what I'm going to do. And every day and every Sunday that you go to Mass, look and see what happened to Jesus. He is going to be crucified on the altar. Why is the cross with the corpus on it, with the body on it, so central to our Catholic worship? Because the altar is the representation. It is the suffering of Jesus on Calvary. When you go to Mass, you are at Calvary. In the year 33, my dear parishioner, of whatever parish you belong to in the whole world, when he was on Calvary, he looked out of his eyes, his holy eyes of Jesus, because he is the Christ of God. He is the Messiah. And as he was nailed to the cross, he said, "This is what they're going to do to me." And at Mass, this is what they're doing to him today, this Sunday, at your parish church. And so when I offer Mass here at St. Joseph's in Dunmore, Pennsylvania, and when the priests offer Mass in Omaha, Nebraska, or wherever you are, in Iowa, in Michigan, in Texas, or Florida, your Mass is Calvary. Look up and see the nails in his hands, in his feet. There it is, right on our altar. The blood that you receive and the body that you receive in Holy Communion is the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. My invitation to you right now is, when you go to Mass and the host is held aloft, and that quiet moment after the consecration, see him crucified and saying to you, take up your cross, unite it with mine. You and I are together. The burden that you carry, the suffering that you have, the loss of your child, the cancer that you may have in your breast, the son who has turned away and has fallen into a life of sinfulness with alcohol or drugs, that pain united with mine. For your love is my love. Your suffering is my suffering. Your pain is my pain. And how deeply Jesus is saying to you today, you and I are one. Unite your cross with mine and follow me. Follow in my footsteps today. And today, if you are at Mass and there's been a glorious resurrection in your life, your child has returned home, you and your wife have reconciled after a terrible argument, the ordinary daily joys that you have around your table, the ordinary wonderful little resurrections that are going on, the fears and anxieties you had are overcome, and you find a peace in your heart about something you had been terribly worried about. You young people, you also have Jesus saying this to you. Unite your fears, your worries, your pain, your suffering with mine. You and I are one. I am in you. There's no longer male or female. There's no longer Lithuanian or German or Irish or Italian. There's no longer Greek or Jew. There's no more nationalities. There's no longer black or white. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny, she must deny himself, herself, and take up his or her cross daily and follow me. Follow me. I am in you. Suffering. Your suffering is mine, and my suffering is yours. You and I are one. I have won the battle. Look at the altar when the cup is raised. See me. I have not only died for you, I am also risen. At Mass today, when you look at me, behold the Lamb of God, Jesus. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world, Jesus. Happy, blessed are we who are called to the supper of the Lamb. When you are about to receive him, he is in you already and wants to come to you to fill you anew today. And you and he, at that moment, when you receive the host and when you receive the cup of his precious blood, his body and his blood, his triumph over the cross, his triumph over death, his triumph in resurrection is also in you as you begin your new week. The words of Scripture spoken at Mass today prepare you for this magnificent union and communion. For he has come to unite us with himself. Jesus said to his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Each of us this Sunday has to answer that question. You know, our faith, we many times can take for granted. At your celebration each week, who do you say Jesus is? Who are you? Do you realize, beloved fellow Christian and Catholic, that right now, and even as a fellow Christian, I can tell you, from the truth of that scripture of Galatians, that we are one in Christ, that right now the devils are in awe of your presence. They are flat in awe of Christ who dwells within you. Who is Jesus? You are asked. Who is the Christ? Well, I'm asking you, who are you? You are Christ in the world today. And at our celebration, when we can begin to live the truth of our identity, we are one in Christ, that we will give evidence of him being in me, that we can also witness to it to the world.
We've discussed this before about fear. Being that witness, it can also be blocked by the spirit of anger, frustration, and in some cases, despair, when we look around at what we're experiencing in the world today.
Yes. I believe, Chris, when you go up against someone in your family that is knocking you down all the time, supposing you're a young person listening to this and say, well, that's the ideal, but I have a dad who's just a drunkard and I hate him. And you're just looking at something in your family situation that you have lived. So you have lived this bitterness and anger toward your dad. God has given you a power, young man or woman, that is greater than the power against you. Love is greater than any power in the world. Maybe your dad never was fathered by his father. Do you know your grandfather and maybe the things your dad went through? I don't know. But you have a power to overcome, to be greater than. Many of us want to act like Jesus, but we don't react like Jesus. And so we become angry and frustrated and lash out and punch back. No, our words, our actions can be his. And that is the interior life that I offer to you, that will give you peace and a power to love. There is in you a greater than yourself. Paul testifies to that. You know, the old self that's in you. You can be 15 years old, and there's an old self in you. And that's given to you by your weakness from Adam and Eve. But there is a new self in you, and that's from Jesus. That new self is who he is. You actually have a power greater than anything else in this world in you. And that power is demonstrated at Mass. That same power is demonstrated and can be witnessed to by you. You actually can love your dad. It isn't always that the father loves his child, because that's not true. Every day you pick up the paper, you see for fathers and stepfathers and grandparents really beat and kill and hurt their children. There's all kinds of witness today. A mother is being accused of killing her son right in our local paper here, starving him to death and hating. Actually, what the history is, I don't know, but I pray for this family. It's here headlines in Scranton, that the evidence is there Not all children are loved by their parents. Dear God, our courts are screaming with these terrible cases of children who have been abused by their parents. God has put it in you. You might be an abused child. There is in you, and that's what will begin the healing process. If you are a baptized, there is in you not just a matter of survival, but actually to forgive. And that's with Jesus. I think many, many of you who are listening to me have suffered wounds from your parents. In fact, many of the people that I meet have father wounds, and some have mother wounds. The hurts, there is in you a power. So that the anger that you're talking about, Chris, that many times builds up within families, within parishes, within communities, that anger can only be overcome by the power of Jesus, who can bring harmony and unity and forgiveness. When Jesus taught us the Our Father, he said, when you pray, here's how I want you to pray. Forgive us as we forgive. Much of the anger and the bitterness in the family, in the community, and in the world today is because of unresolved conflict, a lack of forgiveness. It begins on a personal basis, and it begins with being forgiven by God. And all of us are needing his forgiveness. And as we are forgiven, so then we have a power to forgive. Yes, follow Jesus and you will find rest. Follow Jesus and you will find peace. Follow Jesus and you will find the love that your hearts are so longing for. Blessed be Jesus, our Savior and our King.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif. To hear and or to download this reflection along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif.